RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
What a night. The Bills fall to Philadelphia 13-12, failing on a two-point conversion in the final seconds. Josh Allen missing an open Khalil Shakir, a play that would have won them the game and kept, well, a lot more on the table, starting with the AFC East title. Would not have been likely, but it would have been possible, and now it no longer is. New England, after a 5-year Bills reign, no pun intended, atop the AFC East, wins the division officially by this Bills loss today. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off for the holidays. Thanks for joining me. There is a ton to talk about from this game. With a lot of these games, it's never normal for them. You know, it's never easy, it seems. It's always like just such a job to get back into a game or to win it. And we'll go through it all. I think the big picture is the most important thing. A lot of these games this year, I sort of end up at, well, okay, but nothing here is going to tell me what I need to know about how this ends. I mean, this is not a perfect team, but it's good enough to be in the tournament. The quarterback is great. Be nice if he were healthy. I know I've got a shot at it. The betting odds love the Bills. All of that makes me think I want to sort of diminish the details in a lot of these regular season games. And I think I want to do the same thing today. But for a long time today, from kickoff to maybe 7 o'clock, they got manhandled up front on offense in this game and overall. Got to the fourth quarter, and I think they brought out what they thought was their good stuff. You know, some misdirection and play action and motion and, okay, we're going to do this. It still ends up on that play where Allen gets sacked for the huge loss. That kind of maybe felt like that was it. It was not. And there they are with a two-point play to win it. But it fails. The Bills sit now as the 7th seed in the AFC. Not only is that a setback from where they started the day, but I think the big thing is knowing that they can't win the AFC East, which is Not something I thought was likely, but they're in tough to get to the five. Here's Josh Allen.
Yeah, I just missed. Rolling left. Got to give him a better ball.
You guys had a little extra time to decide to go for two. Just what were those conversations like when you were getting ready for that play?
Just getting to a play that we like. Again, it was there, and I got to make it.
How much did your foot impact you?
Zero.
You guys offensively, good defense. What took you guys a while to start putting together drives that gave you a chance to score points?
Better. Got to be better at the details. Couldn't tell you exactly. Got to go in and watch this and learn from it.
Does the reality hit you that you're not going to win the division now, first time in a long time?
Yeah. That sucks, not giving ourselves a chance. We're still in the playoffs, and that's the main thing.
How are you feeling in terms of your foot or ankle or anything? Did anything get aggravated because of the...
Jeremy did not shoot.
Run in the first quarter off the QB draw. Seems like y'all kind of went way with that, especially like on third and one. Like, did that ever occur, like to try to get that going again?
It occurred, but just trying to fill out the game and, just running what's called.
How much does, like, bubble screens take away an element of your game?
What do you mean?
Like, if you're throwing the ball laterally, it don't give you a chance to really scan the field, work or keep progression and make a clear-cut decision from the pocket.
Those have been really good for us. I don't think it takes anything away from us. It adds another element that people have to think about.
Josh, you say this today, you said it before, we're running what's called. Is what's being called good enough?
Absolutely. We have to execute.
What did the coach give you guys today?
Gave us some juice, some downfield passing game. Made a really good catch there in that fourth quarter. We're going to need more of that moving forward.
The third.
What did Philadelphia do, defensively that kept you guys out of rhythm on game?
Well, they got a good front. They got a good defense. That's the defending Super Bowl champs for a reason. They had a good plan. They get paid on that side of the football too. So, again, it just comes down to us executing, making one more play than they did, and obviously we saw that. We didn't make that last play. I didn't make that last play. So, yeah.
I mean, we can see the frustration, obviously, but the belief in your coaching staff to go for it. What does that mean to you? And understanding, obviously, you guys still have games to be played.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot. Again, we can learn a lot from this experience. Would rather won and learn from that too. But again, I got to make a play.
Thanks, everybody.
I guess that's it. Josh Allen wants it to be done with. He did not shake hands with the Eagles. He ran off the field in a hurry. And I told our producer, Tanner, here, I bet this is right away and short. And that's exactly what we got. Allen in this game. So let's get you the, Skyworks Equipment Rental. Sorry, Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Allen ends up, seemed like it, had very little chance of getting to this point for much of the day, but 23 for 35, 262 through the air. Brandon Cooks leads the way easily. 4 for 101, Khalil Shakir with his kind of normal 6 catches for 35 yards. Not a lot of punch, but he's consistent in that way. Was missed open on the 2-point pass that would have won the Bills the game. Dawson Knox, 5 for 30. Allen on the ground, 2 more rushing touchdowns on 7 carries for 27 yards. That gives him a career total of 79 regular season touchdowns, 23rd all time, passing Ricky Waters and Tony Dorsett with today's 2. James Cook, 20 for 74, no catches. Ty Johnson, 5 for 15, 3 catches. Ray Davis had a carry. Philadelphia did almost nothing offensively in this game. In the second half, at least. Jalen Hurts, 13 for 27, 110, and a touchdown pass to Dallas Goedert. A.J. Brown had a couple of plays early, 5 for 68, then went away. Everybody went away for the Eagles in the second half. The Bills stuffed them. Saquon Barkley, a sort of mid, 19 for 68. It's the kind of year he's had. Not a lot of explosive plays, or almost none, actually, from Barkley and no catches for him either. Philadelphia, with the win, improves its odds in the seeding in the NFC. Wasn't a huge game. I mean, like huge for either team. As I started to say before Allen jumped in, and I don't blame him for that, by the way, the Bills not only are down to the 7th seed, but they'll have very, very little chance at getting to the 5. That Buffalo-Pittsburgh game rematch you might have been hoping for, or even Baltimore, although Derrick Henry put on a show last night, is, I think, very unlikely. I think what would have to happen to get the Bills to the 5 is losses next week by Houston, Jacksonville, and the LA Chargers. I think they all have to lose, and the Bills beat the Jets to get the Bills up to the 5. Otherwise, you're looking at the 6 or the 7, and, you know, maybe that's not a huge deal. Depends how you look at it, but by record at least, that AFC North winner, much like how in the NFC, the NFC South winner looks like the mark, the home team with that maybe would be an underdog, or probably would be an underdog in the first round. The Bills have almost no chance of getting there the way my numbers look. So probably you're the 6 or the 7, which means you could go to New England again. Say what you want. New England was great today. I liked their chances of getting beat today. I thought maybe they could get caught by a Jets team with nothing to lose, and that game was over right away. It was a joke. Jacksonville is a possibility. Houston would still be a possibility. Jacksonville pulls out the game at Indianapolis, so Houston would now need to beat Indianapolis next week and have the Jaguars lose to the Titans to slide into the AFC South championship slot. Not likely, but possible. And then there's also the Denver possibility, Chargers, Broncos. The Broncos have clinched the AFC West, but not the 1 seed, and we'll see how they play it this week. And most importantly to us, how the Bills play it. Because with their seeding being so, you know, such a narrow range of possibilities here at this point, 6 or 7, a remote chance at the 5, nothing better. I don't know. You've got an injured quarterback. And we all wanted this season to be the one where, I mean, Kansas City bows out, Baltimore struggles, Cincinnati's nowhere. Maybe this is your chance to be the 1 seed and enjoy the benefit of that week off. Not to be, do you just take the week off? I mean, Allen will probably take at least 1 snap. The stadium being probably retired after this game is another consideration. That's one thing to talk about here tonight and this week. We will hear from Sean McDermott soon enough. His press conference presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. I might want to find a use for Houstonville, since I slipped and said that. Maybe there's a way to make Houstonville a thing. I'll work on that over here on the side. We will also look for your calls. The Serve Pro first response from the fans. Serve Pro cleaning, restoration, and construction like it never even happened. Get your quote now at servepro.com. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for being along. We'll get to your calls as we go. Sean McDermott coming up as well. The Eagles beat the Bills in the rain, 13-12. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
The Bills fall to Philadelphia 13-12 in the rain tonight at Highmark Stadium. Mike Shope here. Happy holidays. Bulldog is off until, I guess, Friday. He'll be with me next Sunday for the season, regular season finale, Bills and Jets. The official start time is not yet known. That should be tonight. I don't see any reason why this game would need to be moved off of 1 o'clock on Sunday, but you never know. They want it to be that teams with the same stakes on the line play simultaneously, so no team in that grouping has the advantage of knowing how the other team did. But really, there's not a lot left here for the Bills. They're going to be either the 6th seed or the 7th seed, unless they, Baltimore, doesn't matter, Pittsburgh or Baltimore, doesn't matter. Unless they win, Indianapolis beats Houston, Tennessee beats Jacksonville, and Denver beats the Chargers. I think that's the Bills' only path to the 5, which would be the game maybe we wanted the most if they were to not win the AFC East, the game against the AFC North winner. Someone please correct me if I've made a mistake there. Before we get to your calls, and we still have Sean McDermott to come, let's take 10 seconds now to allow our network affiliates to identify themselves. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Mike Shope here. Let's get to our first response from the fans. It's brought to you by ServPro. ServPro cleaning, restoration, and construction like it never even happened. Get your quote at servpro.com. Just a heads up, as always, once Sean McDermott sits down to start his press conference, we will just abruptly go to that. Please don't blame me or take that personally. Let's go to Joe here. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Mike. How you doing today, sir?
Okay.
Hey, I'm going to save you the negativity because you're about to get hit with a bunch of it. I'm not even mad. Honestly, it was another great comeback. It's a great defense. That defensive line is back to running the Super Bowl playbook, made the Bills look like what they did to the Chiefs the first half, and we came back. It's the right play. He was open. Josh makes that play 9 times out of 10. That kicker, the kicker is awful. I mean, he kicked the ball into Jalen Carter's hand, even though Jalen Carter was up. it was right call. I'm happy with it. I know you're about to get hit with like a ton of negativity, but super proud of the guys for coming back. Super proud of the effort, and whether the rest of the guys next week, I'm not quite sure with all your scenarios. But look, watching today's games, I'm not worried about anyone except for us. We just got to worry about ourselves and then go forward the next couple of weeks. So good luck tonight listening to all these calls, and we'll see you around.
Yeah. All right, see you around. I mean, there's not much they can do about their kicking situation. Michael Badgley has had a career in the league, but he's missed a few extra points, got him cut earlier this season, and that was a huge miss tonight. I don't know where I would stand or I would line up on whatever Joe's thinking is the negativity scale right now. I don't see this as a team that can just flip a switch and beat anybody. I think they're good enough to beat anybody. I think most teams in this playoff tournament are. But it just comes so hard for them. Think about the second half of this season. You might not want to go back far enough to join me in this exercise, but tonight is not that out of character for the Bills. Philadelphia is good, if not very good, and we know that. Miami, they're down 16-0 in the fourth quarter. Miami, the Bucs had the lead in Buffalo in the fourth quarter. I'm not sure they've won a game since, but they had the lead, the Sean Tucker game, right? They ran all over the Bills in that game. I'm not sure I'm going to be going in order here. I scored 3 points in the second half in Houston. This is not to include Atlanta, which goes back earlier in the season. I scored 3 points in the second half in Houston. I scored 3 points in the first half in Pittsburgh. Yikes. I'm down 21-0 in New England. I'm down to the Bengals before that in the fourth quarter at home. It's a choice, I guess, how much confidence you have in this. And for me, it's not better that Kansas City is not in the field than having to go on the road 3 times against teams and quarterbacks who've never won playoff games. I don't think this is better. I think this team makes it hard on itself. Slow starts, games where they get run through, or games where they just cannot execute. Every game is the same in the passing game. Nothing happens, even with Josh Allen on the field. And that is supposed to make me think I can go to New England and Jacksonville and Denver and win the Super Bowl. I don't know. I mean, you might be a better man or woman than I am, just feeling like that you, if you have your faith. This last caller sounds like he has more than I do. I've never thought just having Kansas City out of the way meant so much to this outcome that, so what? I mean, it's just Bo Nix. I don't think this team is that good to be able to justify sort of a nonchalant attitude about the playoffs. This is going to be really hard. They won't get the benefit of the bye, and they probably won't play another home game. So this team has not won a playoff game on the road since Kelly versus Marino. Now I got to win 4 or 3 in a row? Okay. This is the way it should be. This is the Peyton Manning Colts story. This is the way it should be, right? Where you have these dominant teams that mess up at the end and lose to Kansas City. Now, it's going to be a different narrative. And I guess maybe we should want that. Yeah, they have, there's a lot to like about the Bills, but they just have, in the second half of this season, have had rarely one game that it was just smooth. This is why I'm good. Because for almost every game they've had since when? Since they beat the Chiefs? They've given you some reason to question what they really are. And this game is one of those games. I think that even puts it mildly, what today was. Today was really bad. I mean, they could not. They took 6 first downs into the fourth quarter, I believe, or maybe late third. I mean, they couldn't function. They were getting bullied on offense today by the Eagles defense. That sequence of plays where it's Cook getting flipped over, and then Allen gets wrecked, and then Shakir gets wrecked, and I got 3 plays in a row where I'm just getting, it's highlight reel hits from the Eagles. That really put me in my place about this thing. Let's go to Terry next. Hi, Terry.
No, I think it's disgusting, and I don't even think you said enough. You know, the people of Western New York, I'm born and raised in Buffalo. I'm in here in Lubbock, Texas right now. But I've been a Bills fan since I was, like, before I could walk. You know what I mean? And it's been the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. It's just like the Dallas Cowboys, man. The owner of the team, Pegulas, I don't care what you say about them or what they put up in the city. They're just taking advantage because that's all Western New York has is the Buffalo Bills. As long as everybody keeps buying T-shirts and going to the games and doing all this extra, you're going to get the product that you've seen tonight. There is no reason that they should have lost that game. In the playoff hunt or trying to get on top or as best as position as you can get in Buffalo weather against a team that really doesn't do anything offensively. And they couldn't get it done, man, because Joe Brady and Sean McDermott, all they have is Josh Allen.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Let's go to Liam next. Hi, Liam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I'm fine.
I was just basically calling about a tight end usage. I think that we could – I mean, Dalton Kincaid would have been huge in this game. I think, you know, Jackson Hawes, MVP-type season with the blockage and stuff. I think that was a huge impact on the game was the lack of, you know, tight end usage. I just want to hear from you guys. First time, long time, of course.
Okay, thanks. I don't know. They decided, if you watch this game, not to use their three tight end package or even two for a lot of it. Like, they went well into the game without that, which was, to me, odd. I mean, Kincaid isn't the force behind the 13 personnel, the three tight end thing. I mean, you can get plays from him, but really that's more of an attitude thing. Like, that's more of a power football mentality, not to be, you know, into the cliches, but that's Knox, who was active, and, you know, he made a few plays in this game. That was Hawes, who you mentioned. I guess it's Gilliam, but they went 11 personnel, like, all the time in this game. I thought of it was, and this is probably not a question you get much of an answer from if McDermott were to be asked this, but I kind of took it as they didn't think they could out-bully the Eagles, that they didn't think that particular game plan was right for this matchup. When you're playing Cincinnati, lean into it. When you're playing the Steelers, why not? When you're playing the Eagles, I think it's a different deal. So they chose not to play that way in this game, and I don't think Kincaid had very much to do with it. Here's Chris next. Hi, Chris.
Shope. Absolutely loving what you're doing today. Usually I call you and I tell you how much I love the weather and all that kind of stuff, but today my first point was going to be about how much we missed Poyer, and then I saw what our defense did today, and I was like, we didn't miss Poyer that much. What did we miss today? I'm going to ask you that. Secondly, is it the weather? Buffalo is the greatest city on goddamn earth. Is the weather affecting the Buffalo Bills and how we play football? I don't think so. It's 716. It's Buffalo. It's rainy. It's cloudy. Whatever. The old man is snoring. We're a bunch of hot guys doing hot things. Tell me I'm wrong. Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
You're welcome. I don't know enough about what you meant to tell you whether you were wrong. But what did they miss today that they, like, wouldn't normally have? I guess I want there to be something that there isn't. Because what they are on offense is this is what they are on offense. It wasn't that. I mean, Dalton Kincaid, if you want to answer the question with the name Dalton Kincaid, that's fine. But he's not there a lot. Like, it's not the first time they've had to try to make it work without him. I think it's almost astonishing that they're in this state with the season on the line, the division on the line, all that this is right now, and they decide that they don't think Keon Coleman can help them. I think that's really incredible. Like, it's not, I don't mean that exactly to defend Coleman, but it's just amazing to me that the Bills have opted for Brandon Cooks at least gave them a game. Finally, we have somebody doing something that can justify this because it's never been Josh Palmer and it was never anybody else. Shakir, 6 for 35. Like, it's never anybody else. Like, at least you had Cooks put up a big stat line. But it's really incredible to me that Coleman is in the press box as this is playing out. For a team that is so challenged, getting open and getting the ball down the field. Like, they just don't do it. So, nothing new, really, right? I mean, nothing new. Coleman has been benched before, but now they cut Hardman, and it's Brandon Cooks, and Gabe Davis is back. It just almost seems like you're drawing balls out of a bag or something to figure out who to dress, and it still ends up like not including Coleman, who is talented and young, but yeah, they just, even in these times, don't think he is worth it enough to help them. Really interesting. Not good. Here's Tim next. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing? Hope you had a great holiday, you and your family.
Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'm looking at it two ways. I first of all, I want to commend our defense. They really played pretty much the best game this year. Did a pretty good job of containing Barkley. And if you take away the horrendous mistake by Josh, I don't even know if the Eagles have scored a touchdown this game. That's how well our defense played. I definitely, you mentioned Brandon Cook. I commend the Bills for at least attempting some deep throws that were there. One time, Allen had him wide open and he was off. And then you look at Shavers, you know, him being physical for the one-on-one, him using his physique, his strength to position himself for the ball and the ref let him play. That's a lot that Keon Coleman can learn if he's a student of the game. That's a lot he can learn. But I really have to critique our quarterback. You know, and I say this to you all the time. Josh is a great quarterback, but he doesn't walk on water. He doesn't change water to wine. Josh is fallible. And today, he left a lot of plays on the field. Namely, like when he was scrambling for that fourth down, the early fourth down, when he stopped us from the 1 yard line. He has Brandon Cook right in front of the front pylon.
Yeah.
And he doesn't throw it. Then another time when he took that horrendous sack, he either had Ray Davis or Ty Johnson that was shaking their hands like throw it right by the sideline on the perimeter, and Josh runs backwards and takes a sack and takes us out of field goal range.
Well, you know what, Tim? Thank you for your takes. This is what I think, and I don't know Allen any better than you do, or any fan does. The pressure has got to be really on him. We know that it is. We don't know just how he feels it. But if you're the type of sicko, I mean that in a nice way, that turns on ESPN and Fox and all these shows, like if you subject yourself to that, you're probably getting one narrative about this Bills team and him right now. And we'll see what it sounds like tomorrow if you have the stomach for it. I'm telling you right now, you'll have to tell me what's said, because I do not open myself up to this. It's that if not this year, when? This is what everybody is saying and is going to be saying about the Bills. If not now, when? Right? No Mahomes, no Burrow, maybe no Jackson, if that matters. Like, if not now, when? And it could be that there's a pressure there. It could simply be that there's a pressure that comes from the fact that they cannot get anything done pretty easily on offense unless it's James Cook breaking runs. You'd feel the pressure there, wouldn't you? If you were Allen, it could be the big picture. It could be the day-to-day or the play-to-play. And on top of all that, he is taking a beating in most of these games. I mean, he gets hit. Not even on, maybe this is ironic, like not even on running plays. There aren't really any design runs right now other than the sneaks. Which, by the way, both times today he gave it away, putting his left foot back. So, you know, if that means anything to anybody, those are the sneaks. When he's offset, his feet are offset, those are the sneaks. It's not even like that he's taking off. Once in this game, he went for like 20. That's not where he's getting hit. He's going down on those plays. He is taking a beating in the pocket. Even on throws he's making. One of the long ones today, maybe the Cooks one, he got blasted. So, I don't know. He's not going to live forever. And whether it's mental or physical, we know he's got a foot thing. Maybe that got worse today. Of course, I could have bet at my house that he would blow that off in the press conference, but he did. There's a lot on his shoulders. he does, other than Cook, I guess, but I think you can take Cook away if you want to. And that happened today without much trouble. Not again, we have a situation where the NFL's leading rusher is not on the field on the big plays, third down, goal to go. He's not on the field for some of that, if not most of that on third down or all of it. Anyway, like, it's so much on Allen's shoulders, and he's got the weight of the franchise, the area. It's like all right there. And he's probably feeling that. Like, who wouldn't be? Who is so cool that they wouldn't be feeling that? So I don't know what about it. And this is what it is right now. And maybe it'll be right in the end. Wouldn't this be a story, that the fact that Kansas City missed and even Cincinnati missed, that the path is clear for this to be the Bills' year? But think about what that is going to have to look like. You don't have to like Trevor Lawrence or even Drake May, who probably deserves to be the MVP, to, I lost where I was going. That's what they're going to have to do like three times in a row. They're going to have to beat all these guys and hold up on defense against all those teams and their running games. And whatever Houston is, if it comes to be Houston, like that's what this is now. Okay, like if he's feeling pressure physically, psychologically, who would blame him? Doesn't mean like you can just miss throws with the game on the line and it's nothing. It's not nothing. But what is that? What is that missed throw to Shakir in the end zone at the end of the game? What is it? It's a choke, right? It's a choke. He had as much time as he needed to plant and execute that pass, and he rushed it, and he missed by a lot. So there's some explanation for it. Doesn't mean he's not great, but there it was. There was the game. And somebody's going to want to go back and rewrite history a little bit, or just remind you of other plays in other games, last year's playoffs, or the home game against the Chiefs. Like, you know, guys, this has happened a little bit before. I'm not sure I'm game for that right now, but we might be facing that this week. And then Allen, of course, will have his chance at erasing all that in the next month. Thanks for your calls. We will continue here. I'm Mike Shope. I think that's what we have to do, right? We have no Sean McDermott yet, and Tanner is telling me, don't you dare break. Neil is next. Hi, Neil.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So I appreciate the fact that a Buffalo sports host is actually willing to be, you know, mildly critical of Josh Allen. So congratulations on that. You might be the first one. But I think we have to take that high-powered perception and also apply it to that petulant narcissist, Brandon Bean, who goes on WGR and says, oh, arguing about wide receivers is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard, when his inability to build a competent roster is one of, if not the major reasons why this team can't get past teams like the Philadelphia Eagles. You have a head coach in Sean McDermott who, to be blunt, should have been fired after 13 seconds. The 9/11 motivational speech that he used. I mean, there are too many institutional failures that from the top down, from the GM to the coach. I mean, Joe Brady literally has five offensive plays that he calls. You have the screen to Shakir, a draw, to the quarterback, and one run to James Cook. I mean, this is literally organizational malpractice that Josh – and look, you're right. Josh Allen had an off game, and he missed throws, and he took terrible sacks and got us out of field goal position. We had a kicker who barely qualified as an NFL kicker. But we need to really have a hard conversation. It's sort of like when you're dating someone and someone says, we need to talk, and you know it's over. There needs to be a complete wholesale firing of the general manager, the offensive coordinator, the head coach, and the defensive
right
coordinator.
Right now? And anything less tonight, than that? Tomorrow morning? When?
Season, absolutely.
After the season? You want to see how it ends first? You've already given up on that.
Well, listen, I've heard your
show. Does it matter?
A lot, okay?
No, don't make it about me. I'm asking you this now. Does it matter how they do in the playoffs or no? You've already decided. I mean, you're referencing everything from the last five.
Wait,
okay.
One,
you want to answer it or no? No, okay. I mean, this is what the first guy meant. Because now some of you are going to be in the mood to mention everything that's happened over the last 5 years. It isn't good. Look at their record. If you think that's where I'm at, you're wrong. Let's go to Bruce next. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Hey, happy holidays. Shit, way to go to the new year after this game today. I mean, honestly, I don't know if Sean what his thinking was on the sideline. Hopefully hear what he says in the press conference. But my thinking is, why are we going for two to win the game? Maybe go Okiku missed that, got that extra point blocked. But that's more of the line and other things.
I don't know about
Kiko
that.
Let's give the kicker another shot. And we can, and honestly, I'm full belief that all defense would have beat that Eagles and OT, and we won that game today.
I've got no problem with going for two. I would do it every time. I would do it if I had the best quarterback in the league. I would do it if I had the 20th best quarterback in the league. I would do it if I was going for a title. I would do it if I was in last. I just would always go for two. What would Philadelphia have wanted the Bills to do? Is there any possible way the Eagles were glad to see Allen line up on that two-point play? Is there anybody in the Philadelphia Eagles universe who was glad to see that? I want to recognize Philadelphia on offense was inept in the second half of this game, but wouldn't have been me. People think differently. Maybe there are Eagles fans and players and coaches who were excited even that the Bills decided to line up for the 2 points. I just can't imagine there'd be many. And what happened? It was perfectly executed until the pass. It was even a little bit of a sneaky play call because you don't have an Allen run. Having seen him sneak for two touchdowns had to put that in the Eagles' minds that a run was possible. He was healthy enough where the most prolific rushing quarterback by touchdowns by far in NFL history, close second, I guess, is their guy. He was healthy enough to do it, so you had to take that possibility seriously. And what do you get? You get a play-action pass, a rollout. I mean, it's just all there. So I am 100% fine with going for two. I think it's only fair, and I'm not saying the caller is different in this way. I think it's only fair to go by what you thought before they did it. And I would have gone for two 100 times out of 100, even in the rain. Here's Ryan next. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. First-time caller. Your show, good stuff. Hey, guys. So apparently the Bills' game plan against the Eagles was to spot them in early lead and then hope Josh Allen plays Superman again. And to be fair, he almost pulled it off again. But maybe, just maybe, we don't have to wait a full half to realize we're allowed to run the ball and use the middle of the field. I mean, I love the fight. I love the talent. But this team keeps treating the first quarter like a warm-up. And then against Phillies and the teams, we'll see that in January. That's not a strategy. That's a habit. Now, if I'm running the offense, you know, I would be mortified. You know, that's all I got. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Well, I ran through it. I mean, it's not all the first half, but they have had issues in a lot of these games since, I don't know, almost not the whole season, but since the mid part of the season, shut out by the Dolphins into the fourth quarter, trailed at home in the fourth quarter to Tampa Bay. Have they won a game since, by the way? Pretty much blasted by Houston and were only able to score 3 points in the second half of that game. Scored 3 points in the first half in Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh couldn't do anything else, and we go from there. I ran it down earlier, and you could find out for yourself. Now, Sean McDermott.
Okay, hard-fought game. Came up, you know, on the short end of it here. Thought there were some good things in the game that we can build off of, and then some things definitely that we have to make sure we get shored up as we move forward here. With that, the time's yours.
What went into the decision, Sean, to go for two at the end?
Wanted to be aggressive, going for the win. You know, we feel like, you know, only a certain amount of time left at that point, and felt like we had a great call, great opportunity to go win it, and I'm going to be aggressive, so I'm not going to sit back.
Did having the kick blocked earlier impact your decision-making at all?
Potentially. It wasn't everything, but you know, I trust Josh Allen with the ball in his hands, and I'd do it over again.
Coach, how tough can it be when the defense is playing with the lights out and just can't get nothing going offensively?
Yeah, some games are like that, you know, and that's a really good defense, well-coached. You know, the front four is legit, as you guys saw. And there's a reason why they won the Super Bowl last year. And, you know, they do a really good job. We had some opportunities. We didn't play as well as I would have liked to see us play. but we'll learn from, we're going to learn some things from this game that we can do better as we move forward, and we're going to need to.
Run defense was a big topic of conversation coming to this one, down DQ, down Jordan Phillips. What did you make of what those young defensive linemen did?
I thought it was a really good effort defensively. Some things, of course, they went back as well, and some things we need to learn on that side of the ball as well. But that was a point of emphasis during the week. I thought the defensive staff did a great job with the game plan the guys executed. They're very physical in their gaps primarily, and guys were swarming, so it was good to see.
Did you notice a change at all? Just the vibe of the defense when Shaq came in and made a couple plays?
I don't know. I thought they were playing well prior to that. So unfortunately, TB went down. You know, Shaq came in and was ready to go, which is the important piece of that.
5 minutes though with no points. I know it's a good defense, but is that a concern? Because you're going to see defenses like that in the postseason when you get there.
No, we are. And we talked about that after the game. We've got to learn some things from this game. I know we all want to win. Right? You work hard during the week. We're a very competitive group. We want to win, and I want to win. Right, so you learn things from this game that we've got to get shored up if we want to advance in the playoffs, and that's what I'm mostly focused on right now.
Obviously, those guys want to score on every drive from the opening kickoff all the way through, but do you think that maybe there might be a tendency within your team of, even if we don't get it going, we'll figure it out? Like, we'll just, because you have pulled so many out this year, is that a dangerous game to play?
That's not our mindset, Tim. I certainly understand why you'd ask that question because of the last few games in particular. That's not our mindset. Our mindset is to play a 60-plus minute game, whatever it takes. They were doing some things, and again, they made some stops. Really, without looking at the film, you say, hey, first down success, staying out of second down and long, staying out of third down and long. You're against a group that can flat out get after the passer, and it's not where you want to live for most of the game, and that's where I felt like we were for quite a bit of it. I did see some of the adjustments later in the game. We started getting the ball on the perimeter a little bit with the shorter passing game and out of Josh's hands into the flat. So those were good things. Hit a screen as well, a tie that got us going as well. So again, things we can learn that we're going to need to learn from and take forward with us as we move forward here and grow as an offense in this case.
We've asked you about downfield passing quite a bit all season. Completed three deep ones today. What significance can that hold for you guys? Is just you trying to sort out your rotation for the playoffs and trying to add another layer to your offense?
Yeah, I thought, B. Cooks had a game for us. Shaves made a big play on the contested catch on our sideline there. So there was some production there, which is good to see. I believe in those guys. They work, like I told you last week, they work extremely hard, and we're going to need them to be productive for us in order to stay as a balanced offense, where it's not, the ball's just not going to one person or one position group.
Where's your level of concern with the number of hits Josh has taken? You think he was sacked 5 times today. It's up to 40 now on the year. That's the most in his career in a single season. What the punishment that he's been absorbing in some of these games, where's your level of concern with that?
No, I'm always concerned. I said this to you after the Houston game, similar type defense, right, in terms of how they're built. So you're going to see it again in the playoffs. That's usually teams that are built up front or in the playoffs, and they had long success in the playoffs. So that's a part of us making sure we're assuring that piece of what we do up. And it's never one position group. It's never one player. It's a deal where we got to continue to grow as an offense. And I'm confident in Joe and the offensive staff. They've done a lot of good things this year. And this film will speak to us. It really will.
But do you feel you are locked defensively?
Well, tonight, we did some things. Got off the field on third down. First down was the biggest thing for us. I believe we're growing, and we need to grow. It's the run defense that was asked about earlier. That was good to see. So that's part of how do you get the team as good as you can get it as you move into the playoffs, and identifying and being honest with yourself of this is what needs to change, this is what needs to improve, this is where we're good, and then who's out there, right? So you guys know we've been trying to spin the dial, trying to figure things out, and tonight I was very very pleased with what I saw from the defensive side. It wasn't perfect, and it's not going to be perfect, but some of those young guys, and then just the overall relentless nature of the defense and getting off the field on third down.
There's no question about Josh Allen's toughness. He's had the foot had zero impact on him. But how concerning is this as you kind of keep going towards the playoffs here, and that's something that looked like he had a good time to look at?
Yeah, you know, this past week he felt better and better during the week. Went into the game, you know, playing the game, he got sore again, and so they did the x-rays, came back negative, just wanted to see, make sure nothing else was going on there. So he's sore right now, but nothing new has popped up at this point.
On the blocked extra point that they had when you guys scored your first touchdown, how much of that is them making a good play and how much of it is poor execution? Like, admittedly, I don't know if that's driving, if it needs to be that low, or if they just made a great play.
Well, I would say their player is a great player and got penetration, so it's never usually not just one situation or one person. I think there's some things on our side we can do better also. So whether the kick needs to get up sooner, in terms of the protection as well, that part as well. So it's, you know, as you guys know, it's when you're playing a good football team, it's the details matter, and every play matters. It's no different in the playoffs. Every last play is going to matter. And again, we talk about learning from tonight's game. That's an area we can learn from right there.
Coach, we know Josh is his toughest critic and the fierce competitor. Like, you know, on that last play, we all know he would want that back. What was your message to Josh, you know, right after that?
Same thing. Yeah, in the locker room we talked, and I'd do it again. Got a heck of a quarterback. He's the best quarterback in the league, and I'd take him 1,000 out of 1,000 times to make that throw, and he'll make it. He will.
How close is Matt Prater to return?
Getting there. How close exactly, I won't know until we get through start of the week this week. But from what he told me before the game, he's getting real close.
Two-point conversion. Guys from the offense were saying that it really mattered to them, the trust you had in them, showing that. Was that a factor on top of the aggressiveness of the play calling, just showing guys that you believe in them going into the playoffs?
That wasn't why I did it, but I appreciate them feeling that. And that's important as a coach. You want your players to know that you believe in them, and I do. And like I said, every situation is different. So, you know, a certain amount of time on the clock, maybe we kick the extra point, maybe not. But you're trying to read the game, and then at the end of the day, as I've said before, I trust those guys, and I trust Josh Allen.
Knowing that you're going to be playing a playoff game in 2 weeks, what's your priority for next week in terms of the roster?
Yeah, where do you want to start? We got a lot of things we need to discuss as a leadership group, and I mean, you got the last game in Highmark Stadium here. That's important to me. It'll be important to our guys, to our staff. Then there's other things that come into consideration, you know. So it won't be easy, but it is important that we have a good weekend.
What is the standard for winning the division? And it's not going to happen this year. I know that's a goal at the beginning of the year. Does the mindset change at all? Is anything different now that it's going to be different now going forward?
In terms of?
Well, since they've clinched the division, that's what I mean. So,
like, with what?
No, just in a sense of, like, I know that's your
because
goal at the beginning of the year.
Row,
yeah, for your team going forward from this, yeah.
Are you saying because it was 5 years in a row and then this year they won it? I don't know what your mic helped me out here.
Well, that's all I just meant. That has always been your goal.
Does it make me happy?
No.
I'm searching for what you want.
I just meant your mindset for this team.
No, it doesn't make me happy. But go ahead.
Okay. I just meant in terms of, that's been your goal at the beginning of the year. You're still, we're chasing that up till tonight, and now that's over, anything change for your team?
We focus on getting better. That's the piece we can control, Mike. And I'm respectfully with your question. I'm going to give you a respectful answer. It is important that we win the division. It's something we've taken a lot of pride in. That's obviously not in our control anymore. So we've got to focus on, as I said before, here's where we're at. What are we going to do to shore things up? What are we going to do to learn from this game? And it's easy to say learn, but what are the hot spots that, hey, could become an Achilles heel if we don't fix it, right? And how do we fix it? Do we fix it with, you know, different schematics, or do we fix it with different you know, approach or personnel? What is it, right? So we all want to win the game, but there's also things you learn from what went on full on that field tonight.
What explanation were you given?
Say it again.
Any further update on the team?
Just a calf. That's, I don't know the extent of it. Atlanta right now, but he was not able to return the game.
Explanation, if any, were you given on the fumble in the first half with Josh?
Yeah, not much, really. Just, you know, what I saw on our video board was Josh's hand disappear, and then on time, I would say, his hand disappears between, you know, on the video shot at least, and the ball comes out down. So I didn't have a better replay of what was going on, but it did not look like there was a grab of the ball, and then the ball comes out, you know, a split second later. It just looked like his hand came down, the ball flew out at the same time, and it was able to fumble. So I trust that they, you know, looked at it with a fine-tooth comb there and ruled like they did. So that's nothing we can do about it.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about Greg Russo's play the last few weeks?
Yeah, last week obviously had the big game, was very productive. Played more physical. When you rush, you got to bring a physical. That's got to be part of your toolbox. And looked like he had some production as well tonight, and especially early in the game, I think he got a hit on the quarterback there. So that'll be important for us, as I mentioned last week. That'll be important for us, Greg's play, as we move forward and try and get to the, hey, how do we look in a four-man rush? You know, so that's something those guys take a lot of pride in, and hopefully they're hitting their stride at the right time.
But you're doing more with less. So you took the defending world champions to the wire, down final point. I know immediately, you know, you haven't watched film, but what immediately did you learn from this?
Yeah, like I said, it wasn't all, the loss is the loss, but you got to look at the process and really hone in on what was good and make sure we double down on those things so the players understand that this is what it's going to take, what you just did right here, this is what's going to work for us as we move forward. And then over here, this isn't. And then we look at ourselves as coaches, and you say, hey, what can we get better at? So you're constantly trying to retool and tweak things to get your team as good as it can possibly be.
Sean, an Oliver update?
Nothing that I can talk about right now. I think he's moving in a good direction, but, you know, a little bit of a, call it setback this past week maybe, so I don't know if it's going to affect his timeline or not. I don't know enough yet, but that's all I have for you right now. And if and when I do get something more, I'll get it to you.
The Patriots winning today made your odds or your chances that much longer to win the division. So going into the game, did that factor into your decision whether to go for two versus extending it? Would you have extended it if you had a greater chance to win the division?
We talked about that before the game. We always kind of talk about, especially late in the year, what does a tie do? What is, you know, especially with overtime, what does a tie do? What does, you know, a win do? Obviously, you start there, and then you kind of go down from there. So, you know, again, I'll tell you this, and separate from the, you know, what was going on there, it's we play to win, and I coach to win. So, if I had to do all over again, I'd do the same darn thing, and he would make the throw.
So. Question earlier about the hits.
I believe.
To Jay's question earlier about Josh taking the hits, did that have any factor in going for it, knowing like, hey, maybe he is a little bit banged up and we have one play here, as opposed to taking it potentially in overtime and maybe exposing him or making something worse?
You know, coming into the game, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have my eyes on Josh, right, just because of how important he is to us, and we're in the playoffs. But I also know who he is, and he's as competitive as there is and as good as there is. But I also have a responsibility to protect him, to make sure he's as healthy as possible for us as we move into the playoffs. So that's what I think during the week somebody asked about it a little bit, or about looking at more than one thing. And I was like, that's what I was referring to when I said kind of multitasking. But I also don't want to introduce that into the team, into his mindset, nor the team's mindset of, hey, oh, if some, you know, I'm going to pull him. No, it's, so we had eyes on him. I had eyes on him. So did Nate. And you know, you got to know to get 17 off the field, you're going to have to
I'm about to wrestle him, basically.
All right.
Thank you.
Sean McDermott and the Bills open as a 12.5-point favorite next Sunday in the regular season finale at home against the Jets. We're still not certain on start time. Likeliest would be 1 o'clock Sunday. And if we get that information before we're done, of course, we will pass that along. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. Thanks for being with me. 13-12 Eagles. More of your calls as we continue on post-game coverage. Sean McDermott's press conference presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Blitz coming. Allen back to pass. They block it up. Looking down the right sideline for Shavers, who goes up. And does he pull it in? He does! An unbelievable catch by Tyrell Shavers, who climbed the ladder and snatched it off the roof.
Cool play. Eye on the Quarterback is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. It was a tough night, again, for the Bills on offense and through the air. Josh Allen ends up a respectable, to say the least, 23 for 35, 262. No touchdowns, no picks, no fumbles. Or no, one fumble. Sorry. Forgot. Two rushing touchdowns, 79 regular season rushing touchdowns in Allen's career. The play of the game is the missed throw on the two-pointer that would have won it, and it wasn't close. So that should probably have been the lead. Eye on the Quarterback. That play to Shavers, you know, it's hard enough getting to 262 passing yards. He's taking a lot of hits. He's taking sacks. He's got an injury. There's just a lot working, a lot of pressure on Allen and this offense right now, without even mentioning that, like, maybe what? Their three biggest pass plays in this game were just prayers. I mean, if prayers is too strong, then, like, there's just, it's one-on-one. The long one to Cooks early is not a prayer. That one ends up maybe being a little bit short, and Cooks kind of stops and jumps and falls. Like, that. There was no way for that play to go for fewer yards than it did with how open he was. So that's fine. That's not a prayer shot. The Shavers one is. And the David Tyree catch that Cooks makes on the last drive certainly is. I mean, those three plays are probably more than half your passing yards in this game. And it's just like the bottom line with this team is this is a really tough way to live. And when you have to win every week, which is about to start, I think they're just going to have to figure out somehow ways to get the ball down the field that are just less challenging than these prayer shots to Tyrell Shavers and Brandon Cooks. I mean, it's just good thing for those plays because there's really nothing else happening. 803-0550, Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off today. The Eagles beat the Bills 13-12. Let's go to John next. Hi, John.
Hey, what's going on there? Great game. You know, we definitely, you know, calling from Philly, so full disclosure. All week leading up to the game, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, is Allen better than Jalen Hurts? You know,
really?
And I was one of those who thought, you know, maybe it's Allen. The better QB, and, you know, still may be, but I think our defense has showed up, thankfully, and was able to, you know, make a lot of stops.
Who's our?
Great.
The Eagles?
The Eagles, I'm sorry.
You're with the Eagles, okay.
Yeah, yep, correct.
Okay, I can't imagine there's any conversation where somebody would argue that Hurts is the better quarterback of the two, but you know of these conversations happening in the world?
Oh, well, you know, the Super Bowl rings definitely were, you know, gonna make an argument, I would say, right?
Yeah, but not an intelligent one.
Oh, well, that's, you know, that's a shot fired, I guess, you know, from the Great Lakes up there. But just one more thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not an apologist for Allen, and I've I see myself as more critical of him than most people I know, but there's no world where he's not better than Jalen Hurts. Mike is next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. Last caller there. Yeah,
whatever.
Allen is definitely 100% better than Jalen Hurts on performance purposes, but I was calling in regards to like play calling and McDermott. You know, you look at other teams like the Chicago Bears, when you bring in someone with Ben Johnson and the attitude they bring to a whole changeover of an attitude of a team. That's where I think McDermott and Brady are lacking, where they're these boring play calls. You're listening to the post-game press conference with the Buffalo Bills, and it sounds like McDermott's at a funeral, regardless if it's a loss or a win. And when is the time going to change where we need to bring in an attitude shift to this team? That's my question.
I don't know that they have a bad attitude. I think these kind of superficial analyses are a waste of time. I want my coaches to be who they are. And when they win, he's not too over the top. And when they lose, he's not panicking, at least in terms of what he says and how he sounds. And I think that's good. And I think this is all just a facade for some other deeper problem you or someone else might have about what you think is going on with the Bills. Because I don't think you can win as many games as they've won and end up with the bottom line being they have a bad attitude or that they don't care enough. Some of these coaches, I mean, Ben Johnson isn't successful, in my opinion, because he's obnoxious. He's successful because he's intelligent. And he's been able to figure out a way to get their offense, you know, down the field. And the Bills are really challenged in that way. I don't think it's about attitude. I think it's about, well, it's also about talent. And the Bears have plenty of talent as well. But I just don't care for any time wasted on these huge, often misguided generalizations. Mark is next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mark in Tampa, longtime Bills fan, grew up in West Seneca. But
I lived in West Seneca.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, so I think there's some parallels to what happened with the Bucs years ago with Dungy. Couldn't get him over the line. Had to bring in Gruden, you know, get to the Super Bowl and win it. And I think we might be at that point. My wife has gotten on my case over the years about that, too. And starting to feel like she was right.
Well, this has been a very common, easy takeaway about McDermott and the Bills for years now, since they got there and got close. And then when they didn't win after that, it's like, well, maybe you need to change it. And no one knows whether that's right or wrong. But it's not for right now. It's not for right now. They were unlikely to win the AFC East this morning. They were less likely to win it at 4 o'clock afternoon, or even 2 o'clock. That game was over very early. And now we know that they're not going to. And I would say that maybe it's even, I can't say it's better, but some of the pressure comes off next week because of that fact that they cannot win the division now and they are relegated to the wild card and there's no way around it. So if it avails the Bills to rest important players, they should do it and take their chances at 6 or 7 or even 5, whatever's possible. It's not better to lose, but it's sometimes there's a benefit to it, and I think that might be what happens now. Whatever they're going to do with their staff is not for right now. Thank you, Mark. I'm Mike Shope. Glad to have you. We'll have more post-game conversation shortly. 13-12 Eagles. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Back to pass. Fires. It's caught. It's a hook and ladder, and it's going for a first down. Up over midfield and out of bounds into Eagles territory.
That was fun. Hook and ladder, or hook and lateral, whichever way you want it. I think both work. I'm not sure which came first. I'm not able to tell you. That is tonight's New Era signature play of the game, brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Josh Allen and the NFL. So we've just heard, it's all about Tyrell Shavers here on the clips tonight. We've just heard his two catches. The long one down the sideline when he out-jumped the DB, and then that one. That's a Shavers catch, pitch to Ty Johnson. That's what he was good for in this game. Well, he blocks. There was one play Shavers went, you know what? It might have been the play before that one. I'm not positive of this, but if I remember it right, it's the last drive. It's early on the last drive. It's third and long, and Shavers comes in motion top to bottom on the screen, then goes back, and I'm like, he's blocking. And there's that screen pass everybody loves to Johnson, and the Eagles just all over it. No gain or even a loss. And then the fourth down play is that play. So, I mean, these guys are limited on offense. It's not anything new. But Tom Brady said it at one point. What was the word he used? It wasn't normal. Maybe it was normal. He's like, easy, normal, something to that effect. They just can't get anything sort of normal. I mean, I guess that's not the word. On their offense, everything seems to be some special effort to create something like a hook and ladder or something else, you know, these jump ball passes. It's kind of been true all year. Let's go to Noah next. Hi, Noah.
Hey, show. Love the show. Wanted to hear your thoughts on McDermott after this game. I thought the guys up front on the D-line played a good game. You know, that was a really good Philly front, and they came to play. So I thought the defense played well. And then offensively, I think you hit on it earlier. It's like nothing's really easy with this offense. Nothing's methodical or routine. And I feel like if we're going to go on a run in the playoffs, it's going to be like, you know, if we win a Super Bowl, it's going to be like four back-to-back, you know, hair-on-fire offensive performances where, you know, it's backyard football all the time. I just don't see like a McVay offense where things are calculated and routine. So, yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Coach McDermott and then your thoughts on, you know, our playoff chances and our offense. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I feel much the same way on the overall point, the second point. I've been saying it all night, all year. Just it isn't better, as I see it, to have Kansas City out of the way than it is to have to win three road games in a row against good defenses. Like, that's what this year is going to be about. It's inexperienced quarterbacks, not bad ones necessarily, but the narrative is going to be like they've never had the playoff experience. Allen goes in, unless Aaron Rodgers makes it. It'll be Rodgers or Jackson, and Jackson has his experience too. It's not great. Neither is Rodgers, frankly, but Allen walks in having won a playoff game 5 years in a row and a division title 5 years in a row and having won an MVP. Like, he's supposed to be the one who, if it's a quarterback game, can overcome it. This team is so challenged through the air, and they don't even know who they want to be on, you know, in terms of receivers. It's different every week. It was one week, Mecole Hardman was important. The next week, he was cut. Like, that's just been the story of things with their offense. So I'm honestly not that optimistic for it. Maybe they win on the ground. Anybody can win with takeaways. Maybe the other quarterbacks all just get scared and crack, but they're going to need some combination of those things, I think. Defensively, it was impressive. They got straight, really had a very good night overall. And maybe this is a character flaw of mine, but watching the Bills on defense in the second half, I'm like, man, this Philadelphia. Speaking of teams whose passing game looks like super challenged, how about the Eagles? What do they do? A.J. Brown is really good. He disappeared, probably much to the Bills' credit. Devontae Smith had a tough time with the rain, it seemed, and that was it. Like, they've always had a very narrow tree when it came to targets, but really couldn't do anything. And Barkley's had that. This game Barkley had was the kind of year he's had, where it's just okay. Let's go to Jordan next. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Guys, you know, I was in a few years ago, and I said, you know, we just need to believe in our team. Believe maybe 22, 23. Like, honestly, tonight, and, you know, I haven't given up, but, like, tonight, what are we doing when we pay James Cook $35 million a year, and at the end of the game, we're putting Ty Johnson in there?
$35 million a year. When did that happen? No, what they're doing is what they did last year with Cook, and that's not a story, I think, and I don't think it's a problem. He is the player he is. Johnson has been their third down running back. They've won a lot of games, and they haven't strayed from that. Cook's snap share has gone up this year, but not to the level of like a Jonathan Taylor or somebody like that. Before we break again, let's give our network affiliates a chance here. 10 seconds is all you get to identify yourselves here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
Eagles 13, Bills 12. I'm Mike Shope. So the Bills will not win the AFC East. They will be a wild card team on the road in a, 2 weeks from today. We don't know where yet. And very unlikely that they'll be even the 5 seed based on today's results. It's probably the 6 or the 7. New England, Denver, Jacksonville. I suppose Houston is even a possibility there. But they'll have to have a lot of things go a certain way to get into that game against the AFC North winner. Not likely to happen. Thanks for listening. More of your calls next. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Shope. Happy holidays. The Bills lose to Philadelphia 13-12. They will be a wild card team playing on the road 2 weeks or thereabouts from today. The 5-year reign atop the AFC East is officially over. We'll see what happens next weekend. There'll be a lot that goes into determining where the Bills are headed in the first round. But unless it runs wild in the AFC, next week is it for the stadium. And Sean McDermott did admit, whether he was meaning it in a serious way or just something to say or anywhere in between, that that fact is relevant to their plans. The word in the question that he got about next week was priority. And I don't exactly know what that was supposed to mean. I kind of wanted it to mean, like, so now what with your players, with not so much at stake next week? And I don't know if he took it like that, but they do have, I think I would support it, but it's a little bit too early for me to want to say that like in stone. They do have the option of resting anybody they want, because the worst they can do is the 7 seed and the best they can do is maybe going to be the 6. And I don't know how different they would see that as being. So they'll have that to think about. And maybe the stadium in its last day would matter to that. Josh Allen will start the game like he did last year in New England. He played one snap and left. I would think that that would still be meaningful to him to complete another regular season without missing a start. Here's Craig next. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Happy
sure.
holidays.
Same to you. Thanks.
Hey, I'm more maybe of an optimist Bills fan, but I tell you, I was heartbroken, of course, but I really think this could have possibly be one of the best things that could have happened to them this late in the season. To lose a heartbreaker like this to a team like that, you know, the Super Bowl champions. And I'm hoping, or I'm expecting, if they're the team I think they are, to really leave a chip on their shoulder. I mean, these guys just tasted Jack Daniels straight from the bottle, okay, with that menacing defense and a pretty conservative offense. But I think, for lack of a better term, our defense is essentially gelled at this point. That's what we got. But playing against these types of defenses are going to be normal going through the playoffs. And I know Josh is ticked off, and I hope the rest of the team is going to follow suit and just remember this and feel it during every one of those playoff games so they can get off at a better start and you know, use it to push them through.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. As somebody who likes the taste of Jack Daniels right from the bottle, I'm not sure what to do with that metaphor myself, but I think I know how you mean it. You could make it about emotions and feelings. I'm not a feelings guy so much when it comes to the pros, and I think it's more that they might benefit in a upside down, inside out kind of way from not having so much pressure on them next week, because there is no chance of home field. What they were going to have to do is line up and play that game seriously, probably, with the possibility existing that Miami would win in Foxborough. Okay, well, maybe that would have been worth it. Maybe not. So now that's off, and they can rest guys if they want. If it helps them sort of, if you will, splash water in their faces, if anybody over there needed that, so be it. I would just not predict that anybody did. Getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll hear from two receivers from tonight's game after a break. It'll be Brandon Cooks and Khalil Shakir. I'm Mike Shope. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Welcome back. The Eagles hang on 13-12 over the Bills tonight. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening to our postgame coverage. Right now, let's get to the locker room. Our locker room interviews are brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Here's Brandon Cooks.
After a couple of rough ones, you and Josh not being on the same page, what was the difference today for you guys to be able to hook up on a couple of balls?
I just think the daily approach, you know, every single day, going to work and knowing at some point it's going to come.
Yeah. How did you guys kind of find your way late and be able to kind of make this one a game down to the end?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, this team is a bunch of resilient guys. We never feel like we're out of it. And, you know, things wasn't going our way early on as an offense, but we continue to fight and try to make it a game, but ultimately came up short.
With that, what do you think the issues were, especially those first three quarters?
You know, I had to go watch the film. You know, obviously something, biting ourselves in the foot, trying to stay ahead of the change. But, you know, got to go back and watch the film and make those corrections and, you know, get better this week.
Meanwhile, 6 for 35 for Khalil Shakir. Open on that last miss by Allen. Here's Shakir.
It was open, right? When you were there, like, the two-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we come out and start that game faster. You know, maybe it doesn't get to that point. I know myself, trying to figure out ways to get going and help 17 out and, you know, get rolling early versus, you know, starting to pick up things later and play from behind. So me personally, I need to be better.
You feel like you got a clean release on the two-pointer because you were open in the corner there. Did you get through there without any problem?
Yeah, I feel like, obviously a play that we've been working in. It was there. I mean, me personally, I feel like maybe I could have came out, break a little faster and help 17 out and just make myself a little more available.
Did you think his path to you was blocked? Is that why the puck? It was hard to tell from the far end there. Did you see him maybe have to adjust? That's why he threw a bad ball to you, or what happened?
I gotta go back and look at it. In the moment things are moving so fast, so I just gotta go back and look at it.
I know. At the end there, did you know right away you guys were going to go for two, or did you just wait? Obviously, you had to make the fourth down play to get the touchdown. Did you know right away you guys were going to go for two?
We're obviously ready for whatever, whether it's 2-1, whatever it is. Obviously, went for two there, and yeah.
Reality of not winning the division, is that, it's only 10 minutes, but has it sunk in yet?
Nah, I'm still thinking about this game and spots during the game, especially early, where I could have been a lot better for obviously 17 and in the offense, and even on power turn where I could just be better. Like I said, I got to figure out a way to get going earlier and help this team out.
And it's a loss, and loss sucks, especially like this, but you still play next week, and you're supposed to play the week after that. I mean, what solace can you take in knowing this isn't a season ender, and you still have a lot to play for?
Yeah, obviously our 24-hour rule, I said before, after we won, but it also goes for an L as well. We get back in tomorrow and watch the film and see where we can be better and pick things up and, right back to work after that.
Is it kind of a wake-up call? You guys have been on the other side of it. You guys have been able to pull these ones out to kind of have the urgency to not dig yourself in these types of holes.
Yeah, like I said, it's obvious that, like I said before, things need to get, picked up a little bit faster than we have been. Just need to be better. That's all.
Once again, our locker room sound is brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. As we speak now, it's still not, to my knowledge, official when the Bills start next Sunday, or if it's even Sunday, against the Jets. I'd guess 1 o'clock Sunday, but we have to find out officially, and we haven't yet. So stay tuned to our coverage for that. That should be tonight. Again, the final is Philadelphia 13, Buffalo 12. Happy holidays, and thanks again for listening. This is Buffalo Bills football.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.